Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Today, I have Jenny Doan from the Missouri Star Quilt Company. And I know a lot of you know Jenny. You've watched her videos. You've been out to her website, to her store. And it's really, really exciting for me to have Jenny on. It's she's like a hard woman to schedule. So I had to work hard for this interview. So welcome to the show, Jenny.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Now, okay, so I have to tell you this backstory, Jenny, before we talk about your backstory. I met your daughter, Sarah, first from your whole company. Missouri Star Quilt Company for me was Sarah for like 2 years.
Oh, how interesting.
Because we were online and she was starting the company, and somehow the company was starting, and she was the person online that I ended up connecting with. And so that was so funny because I was so excited to meet Sarah the first time because we had been emailing for so long. And then it's like, oh, and then here's Jenny. It's like, oh, hi, Jenny.
Oh, that is funny. I didn't know that. That's funny. Well, Sarah would be delighted with that.
Yes, she's. I just love your family. You have this whole big business, and what I want to do is sort of get a little bit of backstory about how it happened that you sort of went on this whole new journey in life. Because you and your family had relocated to a small town in Missouri from California, and started like this company, but not right away, right?
Yeah, we moved to California from California to Missouri about 20 years ago. And we have the children, they all grew up in Missouri. The littlest one, I think, was 8 when we moved here, and now they're all grown up and gone. But they got a little worried about Ron and I, about what was going to happen with our retirement and that sort of thing. I think they didn't want us living in their basement. So they decided that if they bought me a quilting machine, that I would have something to do, and give us a little bit of an income that I could do. And so they bought this quilt machine, and it came. It was too big for our house, so we had to buy a building. The building actually cost less than the machine did, and so all of a sudden we had a business in a building. So we just started doing that, and then it was Alan who noticed that a lot of people were Googling quilting online, but there wasn't a lot out there. And so he came and asked me if I wanted to do tutorials, and I was like, sure, what's a tutorial? I'd never been to YouTube or anything. So then we started doing that.
You know, I just think it's just, are you actually a long armer? Did you learn to long arm originally?
See, the machine they bought me was a Statler Stitcher. Mm-hmm. So I'm a really good computer operator.
Ah, okay.
And if the power went out, I would be hard pressed to do a feather.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's okay. It works. You don't really do that part of the job anymore, do you?
No, I really don't. I loved that part of the job, but I don't really do it anymore.
Now, did you quilt before your kids decided you needed to? Had it already been part of your life, or was everything new?
Well, no. I actually, in California, I was a costumer. And I costumed for big shows in California. When we moved to Missouri, these small towns of, 1,200 people, they just didn't need a costumer. And when you love to sew and you're passionate about sewing, you have to keep sewing. And you don't really care what it is. You just want to sew. So somebody suggested I take a quilting class. And so I drove 30 miles to Chillicothe, to the little boutique over there, and took a quilting class. I was just absolutely smitten by the creativity that was involved with that. It was just amazing to me how if you just turn one block, a whole new something would appear, So I was actually quilting for about 20 or about probably about 15 years before, the kids, they were like, well, Mom loves quilting. Let's get her a quilt machine, Because when you're obsessed with quilting, you really are obsessed. And I am one of those, what people call an overachiever. You know, if somebody's making one quilt, I'm making five, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I just think that that's so true, Jenny, that we, if we love to sew, it almost doesn't matter what it is.
It really doesn't. You just got to keep sewing.
Yeah, you just got to push that fabric under the needle and get that whole big thing going.
That's right.
So when your family, you know, got to the machine and said that you were going to do tutorials. Now, would several of your children work with you full time? How many of them?
We have seven children, and five of them work with the company.
Wow.
Alan and Sarah actually own the company, which is a little hard at first for me because, you know, I'm a mother and mothers control everything. But now it's wonderful because my job is to talk and sew, and I don't have to worry about employees. I don't have to worry about taxes. I don't have to worry about any of that. I just do my part of the job. And so Alan is over all the technical computer, you know, website development, all that kind of stuff. And Sarah is over all the business stuff and all the shop stuff that's going on. And then they have a third partner, Dave, and he's over all the buying end of it, you know, so all the fabric stuff and, you know, what to get and where and when and how all that works. So he actually lives up in Canada. So there's three that are the partners. And then Jacob works and he does all the videoing and the tutorials. Natalie is, she's done everything, but she is now responsible for the Block magazine. So that's
good.
That's her new endeavor. She's the
managing editor. That's her new thing.
That
is just so wonderful. Now you are located in Hamilton, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. We're about an hour north of Kansas City.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that part in a little bit later because I wanted to kind of flow sort of through how it developed. I think that's really an interesting story because you guys moved very quickly, but you also, you know, you can't just take on everything all at once. So when the videos started, had you ever seen a quilt video or did you have to go figure out what that was going to be about?
No, I had no idea what they were. I just knew Alan said I was going to teach people how to quilt. So what I did was I brought my stash down to our little building and I was going to show people how to quilt using my stash and, you know, which was my own personal material. And as I would be talking, he would be filming. And because he didn't know anything about quilting, he would say, "Mom, I don't have a clue what you're talking about," because we have our own language, you know, us quilters, us sewers do, you know. And if I say something like four patch, well, you don't really know what that means if you're not a quilter. So he would stop me and I would back up and they had to become very simple. But what we discovered right away was that whatever people saw that I was sewing on, they wanted. And I was like, no, this is my fabric. I'm just teaching you how to sew. No, well, where'd you get that fabric? I want that fabric, you know. So then we started buying, we knew we couldn't afford to buy an entire line of fabric. So we started buying pre-cuts. And then everything we did became based around the pre-cuts. And that became, you know, it just kind of evolved into what we really do now. We really do pre-cuts. So,
You know, that's fascinating because I was really curious. How did you focus on that? And it was really sort of necessity. It was easier for you
to purchase and sell those.
On
the pre-cuts, we would argue with the motor rep that we only needed four. We didn't need a dozen. And he said, "No, you have to sell them by the dozen." And I'm like, we can't buy a dozen. We just can only buy four, you know? we'd have to buy the dozen. But for us, you know, to buy an entire line of fabric is a lot of money. And so we could get an entire line in these pre-cuts and then buy a couple of bolts to go with them so people could finish their projects. Mm-hmm. So that's really what made us concentrate on the pre-cuts because it was really more user-friendly as far as economically for us opening a shop.
Right. And also it's a little easier for you to store and to ship. You know, you don't have to cut yardage.
Oh,
and so, you know, business-wise, it was a good business decision for you.
It was in the beginning, yes. That was how we started.
Yeah. So now when you were doing, when you do the videos in the beginning, did you just stand in the middle of the shop?
No, I actually, Ron had built me a table. My husband is Ron, and he built me a sewing table to work at, and we would stand at the table, and the table actually was in the middle of the shop, and the quilt machine was behind me, and we, you know the thing about the internet is that once you're on the internet, you're out there, you know, for good hair, bad hair, fat, thin, it doesn't matter what you are, you're on there forever. And so, you know, those beginning ones are pretty rough because, you don't know exactly what, you know, what anybody wants or how they're going to do it and how it's going to react. And that really has evolved. I have a theater background. So I wasn't afraid of the camera or afraid to talk, but I didn't know exactly how it was going to work. So I had my sewing machine on my little table and an ironing board on my little table, and we would just do the whole thing from that little area.
And you also focused that they were pretty concise. You don't have, 40-minute videos. Yours are really move people along.
They're all about 7 or 8 minutes, yeah.
It seems, and I bet you get a lot of good feedback on that.
Yeah, we're basically showing you how to make a block. And how many blocks it takes to put the quilt together. We're not making the whole quilt. You know, I do have a couple of videos that are like, four parts or something like that, where you do the entire thing. And I also have some craftsy classes that are really full-length courses. Mm-hmm. But most of the videos are probably under 9 minutes. They're about 5 or 7 minutes.
So what is the top video? Tell me before we go to a break. Do you know?
The top video?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the top video is. There's over 300 of them, and we put a new one out every week. It might be the Dresden plate. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of views on that one. But, I don't know how many.
Right. I know. Well, there's probably millions. So, I'm always curious, so what we're going to do, Jenny, I was going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to, I'm going to have you give us some tips. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with your store and where it is. So you can kind of describe it to us. Okay.
Okay. I'll do that.
Then we're going to be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To save time, rotary cut several layers of fabric at once. To prepare a stack for cutting, steam press one fabric, place the second fabric on top of it, and press again, repeating until you have stacked as many fabrics as you feel comfortable cutting at once. Ironing the fabrics together with steam helps them kind of cling to each other, resulting in more precise pieces.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more.
Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I have Ginny Doan of the Missouri Star Quilt Company. I'm just so excited, Ginny, to have you here and learn about you and your company. You are just a great force and representative for quilt making.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, one of the things that when I'm out teaching, you know, I hear people talk about what, you know, where they learn and where they learn things, and also on my internet groups, and your name comes up a lot because you have so much good information you give people. So I thought, do you have a few tips that you might share, like, you know, quilting tips that you think are really important or really ones that people enjoy learning?
Well, I have some, everything I do is really easy. You know, if I'm doing it, it's easy and it's quick, but it's going to look like you worked really hard. So, and the other thing is that if you can see it, you can do it. You know, a lot of times people will open a pattern and it's like, wah, 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 wah. You know, you just, you look at the picture. If you can't figure it out from the picture, then you kind of either struggle through it or put it back. But if you can see it, you can do it. But as far as tips goes, you know, one of the things that I love to talk to people about is there are some crazy, crazy ironing people out there. And and I always tell them that the bottom line is we want to have a nice, flat quilt top. And that if anybody ever opens up their quilt to look inside and see which way their seams are pressed, they are not their friend. You know, I mean, you know, people are always like, well, which way do I have to iron this? Which way do I iron this? And I'm like, I try always to iron to the dark side. If you iron to the dark side, then almost always your things are going to nest up. But, you know, sometimes if you sew that seam and it gets a little twist in it, you know, we just can't die over that kind of stuff. It's, you know, finished is better than perfect.
I agree. I totally agree. Just relax. You'll make more quilts.
Yes, it's so true.
So is there another sort of maybe a color tip that you have? Because you are working with the pre-cuts. Is there something that, that you found over time that works better?
Well, one of the things I love, love, love about the pre-cuts is that I myself am a matcher. So if I put fabric together, you know, I'm one of those people who take someone with me who I think is good with seller. And I'll put my fabric I want up on the counter and I'll say, now we need to find some things that goes with that. And so then she'll put some things up there and I'll be like, are you kidding? You know, I just don't see the contrast and the colors. And so I am a matcher. So when I pick up a pre-cut, I know that the designer has done all that work for me, that it's all going to blend. It's all going to go. And I have learned to trust them. That was a little hard at first for me because, you know, you'll have this line and then you'll have this color and you'll be like, I don't want to put that color in there. And you do anyway because it's part of the line and it always works. And so I've really, really learned to trust the designers because they just really know what they're doing. It's like every time you open a pre-cut, it's like you have a designer working for you. You know, I mean, it's, someone has put that together for you and it's going to be gorgeous. So that's why I like the pre-cuts is because of the I'm a matcher, you know, matching is... I'm a matcher.
And it's true. We spend a lot of time when we're designing our fabric lines to be sure that the colors go together and, you know, there aren't just sort of this random one thing hanging in there that doesn't go with anything else. So there's a lot of thought.
There really is. And at first, you know, I mean, for people who are matchers, we tend to look at them and go, you know, are you sure about this color? And then pretty soon, you know, you make the quilt and it's inevitably it's that color that makes it pop. You know, it's those colors that are a little bit more contrast to them. And it's just like, this is awesome, you know. And so you designers make us sewers look good, you know, if we trust you. And I have learned to trust you.
Awesome. That's great. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing actually in your physical location in Hamilton, Missouri, because you have been expanding and adding new features because you're finding that people want to come to your store. It's like you've become a destination, haven't you?
We have become a destination shop. We have a huge following. But mostly I think I find that when you've taught somebody a skill, you know, they want to meet you. And so instead of building a mega store, we decided that we would purchase some of the old abandoned buildings. We have a 2-block downtown area, and most of it is abandoned. And we decided that we would purchase some of those old buildings, and that and then we would put fabric specific shops in. So right now we have 4 shops open. We have our main shop, and then we have a solids shop, which is all the solids and essentials, dots and stripes and things like that that are all reorderable. Then we have a shop that's all seasons, and then we have a shop, a reproduction shop that is 30s and Civil War fabrics together. And then we also have, we're working on a batiks shop. So any fabric that is actually delineated by type will have its own shop. We're hoping by the end of the year to have about 10 different shops open. And when people think about, you know, well, that's a lot of way to walk. It's not any bigger than walking through Walmart, you know. I mean,
right.
It's 2 blocks, so it's just like going from door to door to door, you know. So it's not a lot of walking, but it's reviving our downtown. And I think that's gotten us some media attention is the reviving the downtown. Because now we have a couple of restaurants that have opened up and a third one that's opening. We built a retreat center. Well, we actually, and when I say built, what I mean is we've reclaimed 2 old buildings. You know, it would have been a lot cheaper just to build new buildings. But these buildings, I love the old buildings, and I love the character. And, and you know, when for all the stuff that people have been doing for 100 years, you discover all the old tin ceilings and things like that, which I
beautiful.
Just absolutely
yeah.
adore that. I love that. So we have a big retreat center that'll sleep like 38 women, and I mean, it's just growing like crazy. It's just been really amazing to me.
The town must just be, you know, wanting to all be quilters now. You know, I mean, it's just such an extraordinary transformation to come in and be able to refurbish a section of the old town like that.
Well, I think what's happening, you know. A lot of the small towns, they don't really love change. And so one of the things that, you know, every once in a while we get somebody who's like, well, we're just going to be a quilting town. It's just going to have one dimension. And we're like, isn't that better than no dimension? You know?
Right.
Because otherwise it was just going to die. You know, if you're not progressing, if you're not, you know, if you're not living and breathing, then you're dying. So we just wanted to bring it back to life. And I think most of the town is really excited. We're trying to do a lot of things that are oriented around the town. Like we bought a big 20-foot movie screen, and we're doing movies in the park on Friday, one Friday night a month. And so we're doing these big, you know, where everybody can come out and watch a big outdoor movie, bring your lawn chair, you know. And so that's been really fun for the community, and they've really enjoyed that. You know, as far as 100% people being happy about it, I'm not sure about that, but lots of people are really thrilled with what's happening. They're thrilled that their town's coming back, I think. You know, kids come back from college and they're like, oh my gosh, what's happening to Hamilton? There's people everywhere, you know. We get like probably between 50 and 200 people every day come to the shop
wow.
to, you know, to just to see us, just to, as a destination.
They're coming to see you, Jenny. You know that.
Well, and that's one of the problems. I'm traveling right now so much that my kids keep saying, when Mickey's not in Disneyland, nobody's happy. You know, so the traveling is going to really slow down. You know, we're going to really, really be taking lots and lots of less, teaching
the long
things.
Trips.
And,
yeah.
And that's kind of hard for me because I love that part of it. You know, I teach to a camera. So when I get to go be with real people, it's like the best day ever, you know. So, and plus when you have a bunch of kids, then you only go camping. You don't actually go on vacation. You know, you can't actually see the ball of twine because it costs money.
Yeah.
You can't pay for 9 of you, you know. So now Ron and I get to travel and do things we've never been able to do. And that's really fun. But it's true. The kids, you know, the kids are like, Mom, we just need you to stay at home.
I know. Well, you know, your business changes and things change. And now that you're finding that people will come to your area, then that's a good deal.
Yeah.
You can travel for
really fun.
You won't even have to work. You could just take vacation.
That's true.
Yeah. What's vacation, right, Ginny? It's like, huh? I don't know that word.
That's right. The problem is, though, that when you're home, it seems like you don't really vacate. You know, you don't really stay home. You just actually go to work every day because that's what you do when you're home.
That's right. I know that feeling. Let me just give one or two more things here before we wrap it up. When you are designing projects, is it sort of a team effort, or do a couple of you do designing, or are there several people? How does that work for the projects that you do?
Well, mostly Natalie and I work on that. I like to do things from old quilts. I also, what I'm doing is I'm not necessarily trying to be the most original person. What I'm trying to do is make it easy. And so a lot of times people will come in and say, have you seen this? You know, and I'll be like, no, that's amazing. Can I tutorial it? You know, and then I'll tutorial it and show the world, because it's a great way to make it easy. And so, you know, sometimes I wake up with an idea that is, you know, I used to wake my husband up in the middle of the night to ask him if it would work mathematically. And he said, just write it in your journal and talk to me in the morning. You know, mostly, I would say it's Natalie and I, you know. Jacob also has some input. Natalie and Jacob are both very mathematical, and so they think things differently. I think in terms of shapes versus equations. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself really mathematical, but I think in terms of shapes. And so I see those precuts, and I see ways to do things that, you know, you can use a pre-cut to make this same block, and it'll be so much easier. And so that's kind of how it goes design-wise.
Ginny, this has just been so much fun to catch up and hear about what's going on. I really appreciate being able to squeeze a bit of time into your schedule.
Oh, I love this, too. Thank you. I mean, I just really enjoy you. You know that, Pat. We have a grand time together.
You're the best. You are the best.
Oh,
yes,
thank
I know.
You.
Now, I want to tell people to go to your website, MissouriQuiltCo.com, and they can sign up for your newsletter, which is highly entertaining.
We all have a very strong sense of humor in our family, and so that just kind of carries through. We also have the Block magazine too, which I think is really cool. It's basically the patterns of the tutorials, and there's just you know, so people, even though there are free tutorials out there, still want that piece of paper. So we've written the patterns for those, and they come in a magazine with no advertising, no cards that fall out, and it's just been a and it's $5.99, you know, so it's this nice little book that they can keep, this little pattern book, and they're always available. They don't go away. And so I just think they're beautiful.
Well, they could check that out too. Go to MissouriQuiltCo.com.
Yes,
thank you so much, Ginny.
You are welcome. Check us out then.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. If you're working on more than one quilt project at a time and have limited storage space, stash each ongoing project in a large white gift box. Label the ends, and stack the boxes in your closet.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have got Kate Collarin here from seemslikeadream.com. And Seems Like a Dream, her site is so much fun. She has a lot of really wonderful tips out there. And I met Kate quite a long time ago. And she and I have kept up over the years. And so it's time that you get to meet Kate too. So thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, we did meet a while ago.
I know, you're always reminding me. Remember, I'm the one that was at the monastery where we were teaching or whatever it was.
It was the Mercy Center in Madison, Connecticut. Well, who could forget that place?
Right, I know. We won't. Just saying that you taught in a place, you know, that was a monastery is just, unique in itself. That was incredible spot.
Yep.
So tell me, Kay, you started out life as a nurse. You spent a lot of years as a nurse. Did you quilt when you were nursing, full time?
Well, I did, actually. It's kind of funny. I mean, I made my first quilt when I was young, didn't know what I was doing, and made a couple of quilts here and there. And then I went to work at a VNA, a Visiting Nurse Association, and a lot of the women there quilted. And so I sort of got back into it, quilting with them, and we made quilts and raffled them off and raised money for our patients. We had a patient fund where we could help buy supplies for patients who couldn't afford them.
Wow, that's unique. I never heard of that.
Yeah, so
that's
it was a great experience, and I learned a lot from these women. Some of them actually hand-pieced. I didn't go there, but I liked my machine. But I learned a lot from them, and it was a great way to get into quilting.
So at one point, you have a business partner started up Seems Like a Dream. What made you do that?
Well, like I said, I was working for a visiting nurse agency, and then I left and went to another job, which is where I met Elizabeth at a nursing home. And she and I just got talking, and both of us loved crafting. I mean, I also knit, and I did cross stitch and some different things. And Elizabeth was fairly new to quilting. And so we kept talking about, wouldn't it be fun to have a quilting business? Mm-hmm. And at the time, there was actually a local quilt shop that was for sale. And we kind of debated that, but then realized it wasn't practical with our kids and things like that for us at the time. I had always been tweaking designs anyway. When we were making the quilts at the visiting nurse agency, I was always the one helping pick out the fabrics and tweaking the design. And so it just sort of seemed a natural progression to start this quilt pattern business.
Aha. Kate, your partner's name is Elizabeth Balderrama. Is that right?
Yes, Elizabeth Balderrama. And so it was really fun because I would design and she would test. And like I said, she was a fairly new quilter. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that was really important to us when we started this was making sure that people could follow our patterns, even if they were fairly new quilters. Mm-hmm. She had had some trouble with some patterns, not being able to follow them because she didn't understand everything. So that's one of the reasons why when we did it, we were really step by step by step because it was important to us.
That's a really interesting viewpoint, to be able to have a partner who was, someone who could actually test it from a different viewpoint, because so many of us, by the time we design, we're already quite skilled. So it's harder to think like a new person when you don't know anything.
I think that's really true. And I think that was one of the things that really helped us when we got started. I have a really quick, fun story. We were vending at a local quilt show, and we had this pattern early part of our business. It was called the 4-Star Tote, and it used some fat quarters, and we were selling kits. And this girl came in. She was 9, and she bought one of the kits with her mom, and that was on Saturday. On Sunday, she came back and showed us her tote bag that was 3/4 finished already. So I figure if a 9-year-old could follow it,
you're good.
We were okay.
You were good. Now, one of the things I thought we could talk about is picking fabric, because that is an area, just like when I was talking to Jenny Doan earlier, that Jenny, is a person who likes to be matchy. You know, a lot of people have trouble picking fabric. What are some things that you teach people about selecting fabric?
Oh, there's so much to talk about with picking fabric, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things I like to tell people is that just trust your gut. you know, we all see fabric so differently. And we think that, you know, when we see a color, everyone else is seeing it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. I actually have a good story about that. Just recently, I took a class through my local guild with Mickey Dupree. We were doing her piece Texies,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot of fun, and she was a great teacher. And I was sitting there staring at these three fabrics I'd pulled together for this one hexi and kind of trying to decide if I liked them and if this one fabric was popping the other ones out. And Mickey came over and looked at it and said, "Oh, I really like how that orange fabric pops the other colors." And I looked at her and I said, "Orange? It's not orange, it's gold."
Ah.
And another woman came over, and she thought that the fabric was more of a yellow-green mustard color. So here we were, three people all looking at the same fabric, but we all saw it differently. And so one of the things I like to teach people is to trust your gut. You see things differently. So maybe you walk into a quilt store, you've got some fabrics for a quilt, and you ask for some help. And maybe they look at your fabrics and they pull out a red fabric and say, "This would be perfect." And mm-hmm. you look at that fabric and you think, "Meh, maybe not." Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's, as I like to say, right church, wrong pew. Maybe mm-hmm. your quilt really needs some red fabric, but maybe it's just the wrong shade for you because you're seeing it differently.
You know, that's really interesting about seeing the fabric differently, because I notice that too when I'm teaching and people are, you know, I do a whole color class, and it's like, it really is amazing to look at the color combinations and that people will do and how they think about it. Now, you have a whole online workshop that talks a lot about this now.
Yes, I have a class at Craftsy, mm-hmm. and that was so much fun to do. Now, they kind of call my class a technique class, because mm-hmm. What we did, and it's called 3 blocks, 30 quilts. And what we did was we took 3 blocks, sort of in increasing difficulty, as a way to showcase some different techniques. So I show some different ways to do some strip piecing, different ways to make half square triangles, different ways to make quarter square triangles, and then how you can sort of mix up your blocks and change your settings, which is really fun. But then we also have a whole segment on picking fabric. And I have
That's
to say,
good.
You know, it's really... I think the one thing that really helps people is if you don't overmatch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you find that sometimes you throw in all these fabrics and they look beautiful together, but the quilt's kind of just, eh? And that's mm-hmm. because everything blends so well, you don't see the design.
Yeah, it can be sort of a curse to be too
yes.
matchy.
It can
doesn't
be.
Doesn't put
and
any
that's
life
like
into
like
it.
Those color tools are perfect because maybe sometimes what you need to do is you put a bunch of fabric together and then use your color tool and find that, what, complementary color or something that just adds that little bit of spark and makes everything else just really perk up and stand out.
Now, tell me a little bit about what type of quilts you and Elizabeth design for your pattern company. What do they look like? Are they pieced? Are they appliqué?
Oh, well, they're all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do some appliqué. We've done some tote bags that are mostly pieced. We've done a lot of like wall hangings or banners that are a combination of pieced and applique. I love applique, but I also love the precision of piecing. Most of our quilts, the bigger ones, are just pieced, though we have some with applique in them as well. We mm-hmm. kind of like to say that our style is traditional with a twist,
mm-hmm.
because everything sort of with us seems to start in the traditional mode, and then we do something that makes it a little bit more modern. Maybe it's the fabrics we chose or the setting we chose.
Mm-hmm.
I love one of our quilts. Sergeant Stanley is a good example of this. It's a block. It's part of our catnap series of quilts. Did I tell you about those?
No. Mention that. I want to be sure you mentioned that. The catnap series is so fun. Yeah, I love the name.
Well, what we did was there are a series of one-block quilts that you can change the look by changing the setting. So they function kind of like a log cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we called them the catnap series is not one of them has a pieced cat face on it, but they're named after our cats. So we named one after my cat. Her name is Tiger Lily. We named two after my daughter's cats, Huey, Louie, and Daisy, May.
There
and then we
you
named
go.
One after Elizabeth's cat, which is Sergeant Stanley, because Elizabeth's husband has some military background,
mm-hmm.
and her cat's name is Stanley, so we just thought it went together really well.
So
on really
Sergeant Stanley,
her,
it's one. There's only one block in this quilt.
Yeah,
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it.
Change,
I'm thinking, I don't
yeah,
see
you
the
just
block.
Change the setting and you can
it's
change
really
the
cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yep. So, and I did one like that in my Craftsy class as well. And we called that one Sasha. And I named it after my friend's cat. So I'm on a real roll with this whole cat thing.
Now, you have a love of half square triangles.
Yes.
Yes, I do too. I think that you can't make a quilt without them because they add so much. What do you do to help people get over? I mean, there are people who just like, they're scared of it. I don't know why, but, you know, do you have a tip?
Do I have a tip? You know, I think one of the fun things about half-square triangles is there's like a million different ways to make them, and you just have to find the way that works for you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I like to talk about, or talked a little bit about in my Craftsy class. I show a couple of different ways, but there's a ton of different ways. And I think if you just keep going till you find the way that you feel really comfortable, then that's mm-hmm. the biggest tip of all. I love using triangle papers. That's a really fun way to do it. But if I don't have any papers around, then I draw the lines using a sandboard. I think the real tip for me is to go slow. We're all in this sort of pedal to the metal, how fast can you make this quilt top? And when you just slow it down just a little bit as you sew, they go together beautifully.
Yeah, I think that it's a shape well worth learning to do and adding it in. I like your advice that to keep trying until you find the method, no matter what it is, half square triangles, curve piecing, whatever. Just there's so many ways to approach it. That's a great tip, Kate.
Oh, thanks. Because I just think that, you know, not every way is going to work for every person, and there's no one right way to do it. You know?
No.
And I agree. I mean, half square triangles are great. You take a simple nine patch, and all of a sudden it becomes a pinwheel.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. So people can find you at seemslikeadream.com, and you have a blog, so
yeah.
they can. Follow along on your writings. Do you
yep.
both write on your blog?
I do most of the writing, though Elizabeth occasionally does write, but I do most of the writing on the blog. I seem to enjoy it, so it just sort of has fallen to me.
Great.
And it's really fun. I have a great time putting pictures up there. Of course, every now and then it's not all quilt related.
Yeah.
Recently,
well,
I just had pictures of my daughter's wedding shower.
This has been so great. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Oh, thanks so much.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Once fabric pieces have been pressed, let them cool in place before moving them. It prevents distortion of bias edges.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Nancy Mahoney is here for our monthly deep chat. We're chatting about a technique or a few techniques and really trying to explore them so that we can, give tips and different things that we've experienced or read about. So Nancy is an amazing designer. She's a pattern designer, author, fabric designer. Welcome back, Nancy. I'm glad you're here.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I am actually very excited about the first thing we're going to talk about. Sampler quilts. Sampler quilts are, I think, really a great tool. Did you learn, when you learned to quilt, Nancy, did you make a sampler?
I did. It was, and I think it's a fun way to learn how to do different blocks and you learn different techniques.
You know, our when in my area, when you learned to quilt at the time, you could only make a sampler to learn to quilt, and you could only do it by hand. It was all hand pieced, you know, cardboard templates, you know, all that stuff. But I actually didn't know or really appreciate samplers until much, much later. It's like I did that one and then I didn't do any for a long time. Would you go ahead and describe sort of what a sampler is? Because a lot of people don't learn that way nowadays.
They don't. And when I first started quilting, of course, this has been 30-some years ago, and I did the similar to you did. I started with hand piecing and doing an easy, you know, easy block and learned different techniques. And then later, I took another class, and we did a sampler quilt by machine. And sampler quilts are really quilts that are made with different blocks. And so it might be a nine-patch block or an applique block or a mariner's compass. And so you may go from simple blocks to much more complicated blocks, all within one quilt.
Now, the settings for samplers, I mean, there are, if you go out and start actually looking at books, there's lots of books with multiple blocks in them, with multiple settings, and they sort of go in waves of popularity, don't they? So that you can, one time there'll be 20, and the next time you can't find any. But settings really make the whole quilt unique. What kind of settings have you seen going on out there?
What I usually see is sashing. And it's sashing that really ties everything together, because you're normally going to use one fabric for the sashing, and that's going to give continuity to the blocks, which may be made from a lot of different fabrics. Sometimes they're made from the same fabrics, but often they're made with different fabrics.
And I've also really enjoyed, like, people who use EQ, you can go in and get to some sort of standard layouts. You know, they're already in the system. You can do things that are even more unique. Do you remember, I can't even remember who wrote the book, but many, many years ago, there was a person who, like, did all of these samplers, but they were really wildly set, you know, not sashing. Do you remember that?
I do, and I think you're talking about Margaret Miller.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Describe
Margaret
one or two of those.
They really
were just crazy.
Things.
Do you remember what some of them look like?
A lot of times she would do things that had almost a dimensional look to them, or they would kind of move around in a circle. And she was really well known for taking blocks of different sizes, because quite often with a sampler quilt, all the blocks are going to be the same size. Mm-hmm. And she would work with blocks of different sizes and create settings to be able to put them all together. When I lived in Washington State, she did one for a member of our guild that was retiring, and we all made star blocks, and you could make any block you wanted to make in any size, and then she had the challenge of putting it together.
I bet it was in one of her books, too.
I bet it was. It probably was. And her books are probably still available, you know, online or from your library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're actually quite fascinating to look at and get ideas. They're not sort of current looking, but you can get some amazing ideas. Let's talk about learning via a sampler, because there's a couple of things, even if you've already learned to quilt, there's sort of, I think, the samplers are really powerful tools for helping you learn. One of the things I talked about recently was playing with fabric combinations. If you're making a whole big quilt, it's sort of daunting to sometimes pull all the fabric and figure it all out before you start. But if you sort of have a big pile of fabric that looks great, but you're only sort of designing one block, one 12-inch block, a 9-inch block, it's a lot of fun to just play within that small frame.
It is. And you can try things that maybe you wouldn't try otherwise, because you're only investing your time in one block.
Yeah, and you could put like a color combination together and you think, oh, okay, it looks good in this block, but I wouldn't want a whole quilt looking like this. But one block going into everything. I'm doing that right now with Amy Gibson's project, and I'm using this fabric that's very whimsical. It has, you know, dancing marshmallows on it and stuff like that. So it's just for fun. It's just to have a good time. What about the technique part of it? Talk a little bit about how you can learn on each block.
Well, I think that's one of the best things about sampler quilts, is that you can you can do a block to learn just the technique. So you can learn how to do applique, or you can learn how to do flip and fold corners, flip and sew corners, or you can do maybe a mariner's compass or a foundation piecing or even a English paper piecing block. Or, you know, so again, you're only doing one block. So it's a good way just to learn a technique and to try a technique and see if it's something you like, or maybe you find out you don't like it. And you know, and that's important too, Pat, finding out those things you don't like.
That's so important. And the sampler is so nice for being able to go, okay, I did that drunkard's path, and that might be the only one I ever do in my life, you know? That's...
Exactly. And you haven't... Now, and you don't have end up with a project that you start and you just hate it because it's a technique you don't like. And so you never finish that project.
Right. And one block is always so easy. Now, a lot of times they're done as a block of the month. You might have, you know, via a store or an online group. So one block a month is also sort of a nice framework to just, you know, commit to. You don't have to plan to do the whole thing by a certain time.
Well, and I learned a long time ago, if you have a big project, it makes it much more doable if you kind of break it up into little pieces. And with a block of the month, that's what you're doing. You're only thinking of, oh, I just am doing this one block. You're not thinking of, I have this whole big quilt to make.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about thinking about the whole fabric you're going to use, because you are making a whole quilt if you decide you're going to go forward. You're going to kind of use this either to teach yourself something or to play with maybe a fabric combination or whimsical fabrics like I'm doing. How do you approach getting that collection of fabrics to work with?
Well, there's different ways to approach it. You know, sometimes you can just use a background fabric that'll give you continuity throughout the blocks, or like I said, with your sashing. But maybe you want to have some fun fabrics or something different that you haven't used, or you have a special fabric you haven't used and you just want to see what it looks like in a few blocks. And, you know, maybe you want to make all your blocks the same. That's another way to approach it, is you use the same fabrics in every block. The class I took, that's what we did, was we selected a group of fabrics, and I believe mine were in blue, if I remember back all those years, and I just chose a group of blue fabrics that I liked, and then I used them in the blocks, and it helped me to learn about color placement and value placement and all those different things that help you throughout your quilting journey.
I also find that if you pick, it's sort of the similar thing like picking a similar background. If you have a kind of a feature fabric, like maybe you're using a black with white polka dots. I've used that recently. If you then put that in every block, it's almost like it doesn't matter what else is going on in the block. They all are going to go together eventually, and then, you know, you'll hold it together with your setting. But that little bit of black and white polka dot, you know, jumping out in every single one is really effective in the final quilt.
It is. It is. And like you say, it really ties the whole quilt together because you've used one fabric as a continuity throughout the blocks.
Now, people could actually, you know, develop their own quilt, you know, by finding blocks online or in books, you know, that they are interested in. What are some places that, you know, American Patchwork has blocks? Like if you go to allpeoplequilt.com and you go to the tab that says quilt patterns, then under that there's a tab that says quilt blocks. And so there are patterns that you could put together. What would you do, Nancy, if you wanted to collect a group of patterns?
Well, I've always loved what I call block books, and they're books that are just blocks. And you can find those. There's all, you know, they're readily available either online or at your library. And you can flip through them and look for blocks that you like. I would try and stick with the same size block. And, of course, I'm really, you know, I use EQ, Electric Quilt, a lot. So I probably would go to Electric Quilt and go through their block libraries and just look for blocks that I like. And then I could play with the layout. But you can do that, you know, on drawing on graph paper and draw out your blocks or make copies of them and paste them together and just see if these are blocks that you like and how you like them set together.
And also, if you have patterns or books of with other pieced or appliqued, you could just pull a single block out. Probably in the beginning, if you're designing your own, it's probably a little easier to do them all the same size.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not. It's a little. It's more challenging. It's not hard. It's just more challenging when you have
different sizes.
You could swap blocks
another
too.
Idea is you could work with your guild. If you belong to a guild or you have a group of friends, you could each pick a block and then exchange those blocks within that group. And that would be fun because then it would be like a book club or something like that where each person picks what you're going to do that month and try different things. Sometimes that's a big challenge if somebody else picks it and it isn't something you're really in love with.
Right, right. Well, Nancy, this has been a lot of fun. I loved being able to sort of to go just one topic and explore it with you. I appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you, Pat. I always love chatting with you.
Everybody should visit Nancy at nancymahoney.com. And if you have ideas for a topic you want us to chat about, you can write Nancy or you can write me. Visit allpeoplequilt.com for American Patchwork and Quilting's magazine's website. And you visit my website, patsloan.com, and see what I'm up to. We'll see you next time.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.